Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, 'He's one and there's no other than He.' And then to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Tuesday, we had the Pharisees and the Herodians, the rigorous and the lax, come up to pepper Jesus with the question about whether it's lawful to pay tax to Caesar or not. Yesterday, we had the cross-examination of the lordly Sadducees with regard ultimately to the resurrection of the dead. And today, the fourth main group, the scribes, those whose whole livelihood was to study every little dot in the Mosaic law, came up to ask Jesus one of the toughest synthetic questions of all, which is really going to expose where his priorities were, but also it would out him if he didn't really know sacred scripture as well as they. In the entire Mosaic law, what's most important? Which is the first of all the commandments? I've said enough that you could repeat the sentence before I even say it. There were 613 commands in the Old Testament. We've heard the answer to this query so often that it's a no-brainer for us. It wasn't a no-brainer for anybody listening to Jesus. And one of the reasons why, the Pharisees in particular, who took what the scribes taught and tried to live it, one of the reasons why they were so blind with regard to the way they washed their hands before meals and so many other things, is because there really was no prioritization. You had to do all of it at the same time. Well, what kind of is first? Is there anything that's higher or lower than anything else? So to ask this question was to ask a hot, burning question. Which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus started with the Shema. That God is one, God is God, and that you have to love Him with all you've got. It's important to specify the parts. You've got to love Him with all your heart. There has to be affection. And not just a little affection. All the affection of which you're possible. With all your soul. Your soul's got to be pure. It can't be divided. Can't be worshiping something other than God. With all your mind, you have to use your mind to love the Lord. A lot of the times it's only the mind because our body is somewhere else. It's got to be the intellectual, the theological act of faithful love sometimes. But also that translates into study, that we seek to use our mind in order to love the Lord. Not just use the mind a little, but all we've got. And then with all your strength, that a lot of the times loving God is hard. We have to battle against ourselves, against our weakness. We've got to battle against other obstacles from without thrown in the way. But that's the most important thing we need to do, Jesus says, is to love God. We have so many other things that we think we have to do, but this is the unum necessarium that Mary of Bethany got so clearly. The way we love God most is to allow Him to love us at the depth with which He wants to love us. Not so much what we can do for God, but what God wants to do for us, if only we say fiat, and once we allow Him to start loving us, and He pours His love into our hearts, that love begins to overflow toward others. We can't help but get to the second command, which is like it, because it's intrinsically connected to it, that once we are truly loving God in this way, it overflows into the love for others. With all our mind, our heart, our soul, our strength. How can we love this way? Pope Benedict says, love can be commanded only because it's first given. God commands because He's given us the gift to be able to love. He's given us plenty of opportunities to grow toward total love with all we have. There's something very interesting at the end of this passage. I love it. But we really have to get into it to grasp it. After the scribe with exultation says, "Home run, teacher. You couldn't have answered that question any better." Because he loved the truth, he was so happy at what Jesus had answered because he recognized Jesus was right. And then Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." What does that mean? It wasn't that he just recognized it. That's not sufficient. He's got to do it. He's got to live it. The kingdom of God is not for those who can pass the intellectual test of which is the greatest of the commandments and which is like it. It's not a catechetical exam. It's not a doctoral degree in theology. The kingdom of God is by those who seek to live by what they've seen in this way. You know, at a practical level, strive to love God fully, to love their neighbor fully. The great analogy for this type of love of God and love of neighbor is human eros. There's always a temptation to reduce all love to eros. Eros is just one of the forms of love. But it's the type of love that we see readily and most have experienced that does lead us to a total commitment. When people fall in love, their mind can't think of anything else. They begin to dedicate 100% of their mind to the person whom they're loving. They love with affection and in small ways. Little things that they know is going to please another, they love concretely in that way. They're willing to do anything, dedicate all their strength. If somebody's in New York and the beloved gets a flat tire in California and doesn't know where to turn, the person who would love would drive all night and the next day and the next night in order to be able to get out there. We sacrifice in a circumstance like that. And the person's whole body and soul is involved. No sacrifice would be too small. We see that. Today's first reading about the nuptial night of Tobias and Sarah points to something really beautiful about marital love. When I prepare couples for marriage, I always have them ponder this passage. Because a lot of the times just praying it together is something that can cure some of the lust that invades a love, a genuine love, and turns it selfishly inward rather than oblatively outward. Blessed are you, O God of our fathers. Praised be your name forever and ever. Their love for each other is going to start with the even greater love they have for God. Because if they're not loving each other in the love of God, they're not really loving each other. It's the other deserves. Let the heavens and all your creation praise you forever. Because everything just exclaims, having been loved by God into creation and loving God back. You made Adam and you gave him his wife Eve to help, to be his help and support, a fitting helper to help him grow into the image of God, who is love. Because even though he was perfectly in the state of grace, we could call it with subsequent terminology, even though he had God all to himself, it wasn't good for him to be alone. He couldn't receive God's love and love God back because he needed an analogy. He needed to learn how to do it. And that's why God made him a fitting helper in Eve. And it was through that human love between Adam and Eve that the human person learned how to receive God's love and love him back. Agape and Eros are connected, as Pope Benedict wrote about in Deus Caritas Est. Now, Lord, you know that I take this wife of mine not because of lust, but because of a noble purpose. That we take each other for the noble purpose that God gives, which is openness to growing in his image of love, loving each other with mind, heart, soul, and strength, and letting God bring fruit out of that love. We all have a lot to learn from this analogy of human love and how it shows us how to keep this first and greatest commandment and the one like it. I want to focus just on one part of it. Well, no, let's do a little bit more. But let's begin at least with loving with all our heart. How key it is for us to love with affection. There's a huge problem in what I would call 21st century Jansenism. That sometimes can invade good seminaries, good religious institutes, and other things in which chastity basically means we don't show love at all. It's a huge problem of the devil. Chastity is a virtue given to us so that we can love incandescently and with a purity, not in a selfishness, but that we love with great affection, and how important it is for people to see that affection in this world that is so confused and goes for the drug of lust because they don't see pure love burning. So sisters, it's philia, it's agape, it's all things together. So the question would be, would every other sister in this convent know that you seek at least to love them with all your heart? A heart that beats out of love for them like two people in love at the erotic side. Do you love with philia with all your heart? Do you love God with all your heart? Are you constantly seeking ways to increase? God wants to give us all that gift to do it. But a lot of the times we think that we love precisely because we don't hate or have got good thoughts about the other person, or more or less see the other, we have no grudges. No, love something different. And we've got to take advantage of these opportunities each day to grow in love of the Lord and really grow in love for others, because once we're trained in that way, then we can love strangers and we can love enemies even with our heart. Do we love each other with our minds? How do we use our minds for the sake of others? Do we try to get to know their story? Do we try to get to know the way they tick? Do we use the gift to understand that God wants to give us, to understand others better? Do we love them with our strength? Are we willing to make those sacrifices without even being thanked? Do we love others with our whole soul, purely wanting their best? How much we rejoice at the opportunity to grow in a school of love. The whole church is meant to be this school of love. But every community, every house is meant to be a ecclesiola, a little church in which this school is maximized. There are a lot of places in which people are nice to each other. I would rather, to use Pope Francis's analogy, have them throwing plates at each other, which is how he talks about marriage, provided that there's a real reconciliation, that they bring the Lord's heart into these circumstances. Jesus didn't love us in a plastic Ziploc bag. Jesus loved with a human heart. And he wants us to love each other in the same chaste but incandescent way. During this devotional octave to the Holy Spirit that I hope one day will become again a liturgical octave because the church needs it, the Holy Spirit sent as ignis and caritas. Fire, symbolic of passion, ardor, and love. And he wants to help us to do this so that we are able to pray for the way that we treat each other is the same way that Tobias and Sarah did in today's first reading. And the greatest model of that love is Jesus' self-gift in the Eucharist. He loves us with his whole mind. He has given us his teaching. He has revealed to us everything he has heard from the Father, precisely so that in our mind being loved that way, we can love him back. And the Holy Spirit's gift of knowledge and understanding brings that to its completion. He's loved us with the human soul that he assumed at the incarnation. And as he entrusted his spirit to the Father at the end, he was entrusting us within that spirit. He loved us with his whole strength. How can't we admire his heroism going through his passion? And he did it all out of love for us. And he loved us with all his sacred heart, pierced to pour out that love on us each day. So we prepare to receive the Sacramentum Caritatis, the sacrament of the Lord's love in all of these ways. Let us ask him to send the Holy Spirit as love into our hearts, so that because he has given himself, we might keep what he commands, and together with him, yoked in spousal love, with all our heart, love the Father in this great means of praise, and then together with Jesus go out to give our body and blood, and sweat and tears out of love for those he will send us today, beginning with those dressed in blue and white. Praise be Jesus.